Grammy Award-winning singer and Tony Award-winning actress Dede Bridgewater is appearing Wednesday night at the Dakota for a duet performance with pianist Bill Charlap. The duo was featured on a recording released earlier this year called Elemental. I caught up with Dede Bridgewater on Zoom to talk about that new recording and her upcoming appearance, but I started our conversation by asking her to discuss her musical background. Bridgewater, who's now 75 years old, was born in Memphis, Tennessee and grew up in Flint, Michigan.
It's wonderful, it's marvelous. You should care for me. It's awful nice.
Hi, my name is Dede Bridgewater. And in terms of my early exposure to music, music was always played in my home. My father was a trumpet player, but he was a full-time teacher in the Flint, Michigan school system, in the high school system. And my mother was an executive with General Motors in Flint, Michigan. And they both loved to play music. So we had albums on, and I mean 33 vinyl albums that we've gone back to now. My mom liked a lot of singers. So she listened to singers like Larez Alexandria, Gloria Lynn, and some more obscure singers that I don't quite remember. And then my dad would play a lot of instrumental music. And then sometimes he would put on Miles Davis or Dizzy Gillespie. And then I listened to radio. So I listened to Top 50 Radio in Flint, from a radio station called WAMM. And then I listened to a radio station that I could capture in the evenings, very late, WDIA out of Memphis, because I loved what was played on that radio station. And I loved the music. It was a lot of blues and soul music, but grittier than what I was listening to, you know, with the Motown and all of that I had available to me in Flint. So that's it. I did not study music at all. My musical training came from the 4 years that I spent when I was the vocalist with the Thad Jones Mo Lewis Orchestra in New York City.
That was actually going to be my next question for you. I have this picture, I think it's called Giants of Jazz, and it's this jazz photography book that covers the music through like the 1980s. And there's this great picture of you hugging Thad Jones, and there's this big, huge grin on both your faces. And I was wondering, can you talk about that experience of performing? Were you at the Village Vanguard with that band?
Yep. I always said I didn't go to church on Sunday. I went to the Village Vanguard on Monday. So it was a good experience. It was a great experience with Thad as a musician and as a mentor. As I never studied music, but I had good ears. He called me Big Ears. And I had had some training before. I had worked with the University of Illinois Jazz Band. I had done a State Department tour with them. And I had worked with the band around Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. But Thad would just kind of put me through the paces. He would throw me in front of the band. I don't really remember rehearsing material. He would just say, listen, and there's going to be 4-bar intro, and then you're going to sing the song. And then, you know, he would kind of explain it to me. And then I would sing these songs. So I would sing like 2 or 3 songs the first set, second set, and maybe 2 songs on the third set, because we had 3 sets back in the day at the Vanguard. And then as I became more popular, Thad and Mel had me sing less songs. And towards the end of my 4th year with them, I was just singing maybe two songs on the first set and a song on the second set. It was, I don't know. It got strange. Musically speaking, everything I know about music, I learned from Thad, how to listen to music. And Thad would literally change an arrangement while I would be performing. He would be facing the orchestra. I'm on his left and I'm facing the audience. There was no real sound system, so I learned how to project my voice. There was a woman that came to hear me, and she was a vocal coach, and her name was Gladys A. de Jesus. So she taught me how to project my voice so I could sing over the orchestra and be heard. And yeah, I mean, Thad would change an arrangement in the middle of me doing it. And he called me Runyon. I never knew why. It was just a name that I accepted. He would say, "Runyon, we're going back to letter E." And I'd be singing. And I'd be like, "I don't know where letter E is," you know, because I didn't have a chart in front of me and didn't read music. He would just take the band back to a certain spot in the arrangement. And he just said, "Listen, you're going to hear it." And he loved to do that with me. So it was an interesting, I would say it became a kind of love-hate relationship in
Wow.
the end. And then I left to do The Wiz.
If you believe within your heart, you'll
I want to ask you about your experience on the stage. You said before that Thad Jones and Mel Lewis, that experience was kind of like your university for music. Did you have theater experience before performing in The Wiz, or what was that like?
No, I've gone into all of this stuff just with my natural born talents, the gifts that I had. No, I did not have any training before I went into The Wiz. At the time, the original director, who is my second husband, Gilbert Moses, had been brought on as the director, and he took me through some paces, some improvisational stuff, and then I was hired. He was a very good, Gilbert was an excellent actor's director, so he gave me a lot of good directing tools, acting tools rather, being a director.
Sister said he was a mean chick, and she thought that she was real slick. Then she ran into a Fonzo Brown, hasn't been the same since the fossil put him down. Sister said he never worried, sister said he never hurried.
The experiences that you had in The Wiz and performing on stage, acting, did that change in any way that you performed jazz?
Well, it changed in the way that I perform and am on the stage because I learned how to exist in a space. I learned how to use a stage. I learned how to project emotion and emote when I was doing The Wiz. So I was able to take all of that and put it into my performing. I love to be in a space and create things in a space and I kind of self-direct myself and I know about moving from the stage left to stage right so that you involve all of your audience if you're on in a theater, for example, or an auditorium or wherever you perform, even in a club. I know about engaging my audience and making everyone in a room feel like I'm singing to them individually.
I want to turn now to this new recording, Elemental, which features duet performances with you and Bill Charlap.
You ain't been blue.
I saw Bill Charlap at the Dakota last year, and I mean, he's got such a depth of knowledge about the American songbook. How did that partnership with Bill Charlap come about? How did you guys hook up and start working together?
I hear a kind of spiritual voice so that I don't sound crazy for your listeners. And this voice said to me one morning, "Bill Charlap." And I said, "What?" And then it repeated, "Bill Charlap." I didn't know Bill. I had worked in different situations with Renee, his wife, but I did not know him at all. And so I called my booking agent, Jack Randall with the Curlin Agency. And I said, Jack, I think I'm supposed to work with Bill Charlap. He's aware of me hearing this voice. And he says, well, that's interesting, Dee Dee, because I represent Bill also. And I was like, oh, he said, you want me to call him? And I said, yeah, call him. And he did. And Bill, when Jack first called him, thought that I wanted to work with his trio. But even though that wasn't something that was clear when I heard the voice, I felt that we were supposed to work together, just the two of us. And so Bill accepted. And so then we got together and we rehearsed, put together a lot of songs. Bill was quite definite about not wanting to do anything. He just wanted to stay in his world, in the American Songbook world. He did not want to do any kind of bossa novas. He just wanted to stay in his world where he was comfortable. So I just said, okay. And I hadn't been doing standards in ages. So I said, well, it's like going back to the beginning for me. So we selected, we have, I don't know, maybe 50 songs that we can choose from. And that's kind of how it began.
Maybe I should have saved those leftover dreams. Funny, but here's that rainy day.
And then I decided in 23 that I thought we should record so that we had something definitive, since we had become quite comfortable with each other. And so I took us into the studio.
What to you are your favorite moments on the recording? Like, are there specific tracks that you really feel like, wow, we connected so well on this, and this went to surprising places?
You know, every time we do the material, it's different. So on the album itself, I really liked what we did on Caravan.
Night, the stars above that shine so bright, the mystery of their fading light that shines upon our caravan. Sleep up on my shoulder while
I like every song. I like Caravan because of the percussive thing that I did on that.
Every honeybee feels with jealousy when they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness knows. Honeysuckle Rose.
I love Honeysuckle Rose because, you know, we're kind of playful on that, and I whistle a little bit. And I love very much In the Still of the Night. I love very much Beginning to See the Light. I love them all. I love every song.
I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. Now that the stars are in your eyes, honey, I see the light.
Yeah, I mean, I'm beginning to see the light. There's a YouTube video capturing some live performance that you guys did, and I don't know where it was, but it's an amazing performance. It's so playful, and I mean, there's this thing that Whitney Balliet used to call the sound of surprise. That, like, it came to mind. Like, it sounds like a cliche, but I think it accurately describes, like, the things that I really like about, like, really good jazz, you know?
Yeah. Well, the thing that's wonderful with Bill is that, you know, every time we perform a song, I mean, now of course we have some structures for some of the songs that we do, but it's always new and it's fresh and it's completely improvised. And that's what I love about this. And it's kind of like going back to basics for me, because when it's just the voice and the piano, you know, you've got to come up with things that are going to keep people interested. And I haven't been scatting as much in recent years in my own projects. So doing this album was, you know, it was like me going back to my roots and my beginnings. you know, like singing with Thad Jones and Mel Lewis and the gigs that I would do. I love it.
All right, well, I guess I got to bring this discussion to a close. Is there anything you want to say that I haven't asked of you, or anything you want to say to our audience ahead of your performance at the Dakota?
I would love for the audience to come and spend some time with us. We have two shows at the Dakota, which I absolutely adore. It's one of my favorite club venues. And we just will have a good time. It's all about having a good time. It's all about taking a break from all the craziness that's going on in the world today. I hope that they would be interested in checking out the album. I think it's lovely. And, you know, it's in the first round of the Grammys, the Grammy nominations. But I just think that they would have a fabulous time with us. So come out. Come and join us. Come and spend some time with us. Have fun. Relax. Forget about all your woes. There you go. That's it.
Didi, it's been a pleasure talking to you this morning. And I'm hoping to get to see you on Wednesday, too. So
thank you.
It's marvelous. That you should care for, that you should care for, that you should care for me.